You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's a good Friday, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. Today's episode, Friday's episode, is brought to you by Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon for 300% back on your first play. You heard that right. 300% back on your first play. I'm Eric Kane, radio host here in Knoxville, Tennessee, a writer for the Rival site covering Tennessee football and recruiting. That is VolQuest.com. Got a action-packed show here on a Friday for you guys. In segment number one, we are going to preview a little bit of this LSU series coming up in the Super Regional play Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, potentially. We'll check in with John Wilkerson, voice of the Tennessee Volunteers baseball team, in segment number two. And then earlier in the week, I got a chance to sit down, like I did with Tim Priest that we played on Wednesday's episode, got a chance to sit down with his replacement, Pat Ryan, who will now become the lead football analyst for the Vol Radio Network. That's coming up to conclude our show in segment number three. All that and more here on a Friday Locked On Vols. Guys, I've got, I'm going to be out of town next week, but we are going to do a bonus episode on what Tennessee baseball, the outcome of the Super Regionals. Of course, we're going to talk about the Tennessee baseball team going to Omaha, if that is how it plays out. But a lot of recorded taped interviews in the hopper ready to roll. Brent Hubb's going to check in on Monday. Likely, we have two football commits checking in on Wednesday. And then Fan Friday returns next Friday. I speak with Yahoo Sports' Sean Sullivan. So a lot of cool things coming up here on the podcast over the next week or so, but I'm really excited you guys are tuning back in to check them out. Let's preview this LSU team in the Super Regionals. All right, so I think a lot of Tennessee fans on Wednesday a little angry about how the tickets sale process went down. You had to call this number at 8:30 in the morning. You knew it was going to be absolute crap. It's a crapshoot to get into. A lot of Tennessee fans upset, but it is going to be a packed house at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. There were 300 tickets saved for Tennessee students. You had season ticket holders getting 8 passes, I believe, for themselves. It's going to be a big-time environment. A big-time environment that got even more hectic and crazy and wild when Tennessee allowed 100% capacity back to fill Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Back at the end of March, it was still at, I believe, 50%, and that is when LSU came to town and head coach Paul Maneri and his LSU team was swept by the Volunteers. Now, it wasn't an easy series by any stretch of the imagination. John Wilkerson will talk about that here in segment number two, but it was an exciting, thrilling series that had a couple walk-offs, a couple extra inning ball games. And after LSU left Knoxville, falling in 3 consecutive games via the sweep, Paul Maneri had some comments about the Tennessee atmosphere, the Tennessee fans in the stands, and he went on Off the Bench ESPN Radio down in Baton Rouge, and here is what he had to say following that series about the Tennessee fan base inside that stadium.
Listen, even though there wasn't a huge, huge crowd at Tennessee, it was an extremely hostile environment.
Yeah.
They were nasty. You could hear it. Nasty.
You could hear
nasty.
It over the TV.
I mean, you know, they were into Trey Morgan's head. I mean, they were on him from the moment he walked onto that field. And, you know, I mean, it was a difficult situation with the umpiring. There were a lot of calls that went against, you know, kids, and they were having to deal with that. There was the other team was not handling things with a lot of class, quite frankly. And, you know, it was an environment that those kids had been in for the very first time, and it was very difficult.
So obviously, that is the quote that has Tennessee fans all fired up this week and heading into the series, and rightfully so. I think that, this is college athletics. Let's get a grip. I mean, this is Paul Maneri, who is stepping aside, retiring at the end of the season. LSU on this magical run right now, playing good baseball and playing for their beloved manager of 39 years coaching, 15 at LSU, and he is retiring when this is all said and done. But I mean, you've been there, you've done that, coach. I think that was what we like to call in the starting lineup on the Sports Animal, S-A-W-A-F-T, S-A-W-F-T. That is soft. soft comments. Let's put your big boy britches on and let's come ready to play. The player that he referenced there is Trey Morgan, really good ball player. He is a true freshman, was all defensive team in the SEC, second team all SEC, and of course an all freshman team recipient. He is, you know, leading the squad in batting average at, you know, over 360 at 361. His OPS is 970. He's played and started in all 61 games so far. He's hit 5 bombs, driven in 40 runs. He has 87 hits. He's, you know, slugging nearly 530. He's a good ball player. He is a really, really good ball player. But he's a true freshman, and that's the player that Palmieri was referencing and saying they got in his head and he just wasn't the same. Well, that's the whole point of a home field advantage, and that was only 50%. So, Mayor, if you were upset, if you thought Tennessee fans were nasty and you thought it wasn't a very positive environment, buckle up, get ready, because it is going to be wild this weekend, no doubt. So wanted to play those clips. I know you guys have heard it probably a couple of times, and you remember hearing it back at the end of March whenever LSU left town. Again, SAWFT, soft comments. Here's to hoping Tennessee brings it at about 10 notches higher this weekend. But this is an LSU ball club, 38-23 on the season, 13-17 in conference play. Really kind of got the sympathy vote, according to a lot of people I've been talking to. Kind of got the sympathy vote to get into regional play. But when it got into regional play, it handled business. It won 4 straight games after losing the opener to Gonzaga. Took down Central Connecticut State in 10 innings, 6-5. Took down Gonzaga, the team that beat them 2 days prior on Friday night. And then won 2 against Oregon to win the Eugene region. Of course, it was kind of a wild and wacky way to win the Eugene region late on a Monday night. But nonetheless, LSU comes to Knoxville for the Supers here at Tennessee. And of course, it will be a 7 o'clock start time on Saturday. It'll be either a noon or 3 o'clock start time on Sunday. And then Monday, if it prevents, it'll be a 4 o'clock or 7 o'clock start time. ESPN2 on Saturday, ESPN2 or ESPNU on Sunday and Monday if necessary. So that's a little bit of a glance at LSU. I know you guys listening right now, especially that are all in on baseball, enough said. It's time to go. Tennessee is two wins away from the College World Series. That is quite something. Tennessee is hosting its first ever Super Regionals. Of course, that format shifted in 1999, but the first time ever hosting Super Regionals. Tennessee, first time two Super Regionals in 16 years. First time since 2005. A big weekend coming, and of course, we will chat about it next week on Locked On Vols. Be sure to dial into my social media account @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. I'll have tweets and retweets and coverage and comments on there all weekend long. So that's the game plan heading in towards the weekend. We have John Wilkerson coming up in segment number 2. Remember, Pat Ryan will join us in segment number 3 to close out the show, but before we get into all that, let me remind you guys about our title sponsor for today's show. That is Stat Hero. All right, do you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising, though? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance a lot of the time. So let me introduce you to Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control of winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero will show you their lineup and dare you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. Your name, your stakes, winner take all, you have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one does that. No one else does that. So you're in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it is meant to be. One-on-one. Daily fantasy lineups. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free. And right now, you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of right now. So go to stathero.com/lockedon. stathero.com/lockedon and win today. Also, guys, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. Heading to the beach next week, and I know I'm going to be having a drink in my hand. I'm going to be out there in the hot sun. I'm going to be in the sand. I'm going to be near the water. I am going to need something to, you know, keep me alive. That I'm packing a bunch of billboards. I really am. Got the cooler all packed up, ready to roll this weekend towards Florida. Got a ton of billboards on deck for me this weekend and for next week. I'm excited about it. I packed all 9 of those delicious flavors: the coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. I might share a few of them with the people I'm going with, but the majority of the time, those are for me because they look like a candy bar. They taste like a candy bar. They are covered in 100% chocolate, but it's a protein bar. It's good for me. It will help me lose or maintain weight, and it's that perfect pick-me-up in the afternoon. But it's 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. So if you want to be like me this weekend, next week, maybe you're not at the beach, maybe you're still here at your home base, maybe you're at your work, maybe you got to mow the yard, maybe you'll be at the pool, on the river, or the lake this weekend. Whatever the case may be, if you want some Built Bars to pack in your cooler for along the to take you for along the ride, go to BuiltBar.com and use that promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. Check them out, guys. Locked On 15, 15% off at BuiltBar.com. John, this magical season just continues to unfold. Some more heroics in regional play. Of course, Friday night, we'll get to that in a minute. Tennessee sweeps the Knoxville Regional. And back at home this weekend, Super Regional round against LSU. Kind of where are you right now on this Tennessee baseball team? I know you're at Cloud 9, but so much fun getting to go in that booth every single game day right now.
It sure is. And it really has been from the start of the season to now. I mean, they opened with a sweep on the road at Georgia Southern, including a grand slam and extra innings to finish off the 3-game sweep after winning a couple of games 4-3. It's really been something to watch this team just continue to grow and get better. And just when you think you've seen everything, they find another brand new way or even more exciting way to make something happen. That grand slam to walk things off against Wright State was simply crazy, but then again, should have known it was coming just based on how this season has gone.
Well, yeah, you went ahead and brought that up there. Let's talk about it. Every broadcaster kind of has a routine, a home run call. It's not the same exact one every single time, but when I was doing play-by-play for baseball, it was off the bat, right field, right fielder goes back to the wall, touch them all, stuff like that. You seem to just make these moments and these calls so amazing. And I just want to know kind of what's going through your mind when you're calling a critical play like a Drew Gilbert walk-off grand slam, like a Max Ferguson walk-off 3-run home run to take down the number one team in the country. You might not be able to answer it, but kind of what's going through your mind when you're going through that 30 to 45 second call? Because obviously it turns out fantastic.
Well, one, you can't ever really count on them, but they're just, it's spur of the moment kind of things. There is pretty much a routine. As you mentioned, you rely on what might be a call in this regard or in that one. I change it up just a little bit when it comes to perhaps games at home versus on the road. But in those moments, the one thing that I've always gone by is just give yourself a moment to make sure that what you're saying is spot on, because the one thing you would hate to do is to call something gone when all of a sudden it becomes an out at the fence.
Yeah.
So perhaps there's just a little more lag time to make sure that it clears the fence. And now, granted, you're talking about Ferguson and Gilbert. Both those shots were no doubters. But you still want to see that right fielder get to the wall and realize he's got nowhere else to go. It's interesting that with this matchup against LSU, this rematch against the Tigers, going back to what was the first huge day for Drew Gilbert, he has a double in the 9th when Tennessee has 2 out and they're down a run. He doubles down the right field line to tie the game. Then in the 11th, after Tennessee had left the bases loaded without scoring in the 10th to win it, he comes up with the home run that hits on the other side of the top of the fence but bounced back in. So he actually stopped at second. So you had to wait for the umpire to be the one to go ahead and wave the hand around to say, that's a walk-off. And so you had to pause on what was the celebration for Tennessee as they got the second game, the completion of the suspended game. But in terms of just the big moments, it's just make sure that the play that you think is happening is indeed happening. And then, of course, go crazy, folks. Go crazy, as I believe Jack Buck once said.
And, of course, in radio, the beautiful thing about it is you can, you know, we're not seeing it. You are painting the picture. Gosh, I love radio. And so you can allow yourself a little bit of a buffer there. The crowd can tell a little bit of the story, and then you can chime in. And so I think you do an amazing job, of course. John, you've been calling Tennessee baseball. You've been the voice of the Tennessee baseball team for quite some time. Have you ever seen Lindsey Nelson Stadium like it was this past weekend before? Or, you know, if so, what did last weekend compare to in the past in terms of Lindsey Nelson Stadium environment?
Well, you can go back to 05, and that was the last College World Series team. The thing is, and you can also go back to 01, and then really it was rocking in the mid-90s with 93, 94, 95, the three seasons that Todd Helton played. And that was where it was just taking gradual steps, because Lindsey Nelson opened in 93, Todd Helton's freshman year. And so it took some getting used to. Tennessee hosted a regional that first year. Didn't go well. They didn't even make the regional final. Then the next year they make it to the regional final. They forced the extra game against Arizona State, but Arizona State was so strong, it advanced on to the College World Series after beating Tennessee in that last game. But then Tennessee kicked the door down to get back to Omaha for the first time since 1951 in 1995, which I still think is the biggest moment that's been celebrated on that field, when they tagged out the runner that had made it, that had come off the bag at second to give Tennessee the victory over Oklahoma State. So you go back to the College World Series for the first time since 1951. You that year won your second straight SEC championship and your most recent SEC championship in terms of the regular season. And to me, that's the year where it was just simply the biggest thing going in Knoxville. You had it resurface when Chris Burke and the guys led the way in 2001. And then you had the incredible gang that was Luke Hochaver, Chase Headley, Eli Orge, a couple of freshmen named Julio Borbón and J.P. Arencibia, just a remarkable group of guys that had that last trip to Omaha. But this, by far, when you take a look at how fans can capture the moments and share what their experiences were, I believe this is the most celebrated team, because there are different aspects where you can see Tony Vitello racing down the first base and right field line to leap into the stands for just a second before racing back to celebrate with his team after Gilbert's grand slam. I mean, there are just so many different things that you get to see now that you wouldn't have seen then that I do think separate this and give it its own special path.
All right, John, leave us with this one right here. Six SEC teams on to Supers. Of course, at least one of those teams will bow out, of course, with Tennessee going up against LSU. Tennessee swept the Tigers earlier in the season. You mentioned it earlier a little bit. Tigers looking like a different ball club here of late, faced elimination four times in the Eugene Regional, won that regional. When you left Tennessee earlier in the year, the Tigers, a little bad taste in their mouth. Some comments were made. I think it's going to be a great environment here, but give us a little bit of a preview of this LSU ball club, what Tennessee should expect this weekend.
Well, I think the challenge now is the challenge that it was then, and Tennessee did a really good job of taking care of it or surviving it, and that is the lineup. You have a guy like Dugas in left. He gave LSU the lead in the opener with a home run. Tennessee won that game 3-1 in an outstanding performance by Dallas and by Hundley. And Hundley, after the three home run game by Evan Russell in game two, Tennessee built a 7-3 lead only to see the Tigers come roaring back to take that 8-7 lead. That game was suspended with rain, and then it resumed Sunday morning. Tigers weren't happy about that decision, but Tennessee able to tie that game in the ninth, get it two extras, Drew Gilbert with the game-tying double, the game-winning home run. Sean Hundley got the win in that one after getting the save on Friday. And then Luke Lipsius with the walk-off single. It was supposed to be a seven-inning game. It went eight. So with Tennessee winning all three games, it wasn't by any means a walkover. Tennessee won 3-1, 9-8, and 3-2. So your margin of victory was four total runs. I do think that LSU might struggle a little bit more in terms of what it has on the mound because they've lost a pitcher or two since then. But I still think this is going to be a highly competitive series. I do wonder if Paul Maneri made the comments, was comfortable making the comments he made because he didn't think there was any way he was ever going to be back in Knoxville. There's going to be fuel for the fire. If he thought that the place was rowdy at that point in time, it's full capacity now, and it wasn't even 50% capacity then. So you had a grand total when it comes to attendance of a little more than 3,000 for that weekend. Now you're going to have more than that for just the first game. But I do think this is going to be a fight to the finish, and Tennessee will have the opportunity to punch its ticket to Omaha for the first time since 05. So I think the biggest challenge is LSU's lineup, and I think for Tennessee, their greatest strength is their ability to get the job done 1-9.
Two wins away from the College World Series. The only thing standing in between Omaha and Knoxville are the LSU Tigers, and we'll be hanging on to every word from you, John, and from your cohort, Vince Ferrara, Ball Radio Network, of course, here locally on the Sports Animal, Saturday, Sunday, and hopefully not Monday, but Monday if need be. John, thank you so much for joining us. Have so much fun, and always enjoy following your work.
Sure do appreciate it, Eric. Thanks, as always, for the invite.
The man, John Wilkerson, that was him again here on Locked On Vols. Appreciate his time, and can't wait for that series coming up this weekend. Again, game one will be Saturday, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Game two, Sunday, either noon or 3 o'clock Eastern time on either ESPN2 or ESPNU. And if Monday is needed, it will be either a 4 or 7 o'clock start time on ESPN2 or, again, on ESPNU. Bet online, fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, it is happening right now. You can track all the long balls, all the doubles through the gap, all the RBIs, everything at BetOnline. You can get the latest news, odds, and information for all your sporting needs from baseball, NBA playoffs now into the second round, NHL playoffs, there are a couple teams on to the third round already. And of course, it seems like there's a big UFC fight just about every weekend, it feels like. Before the next pitch, I want you to head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up for the bonuses, and the contesting information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as the teams prep for their runs, as you're seeing some do it right now, through the playoffs. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you need to have is the promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. Pat, first and foremost, congratulations on your movement into the booth to call some football on Saturday alongside, of course, Bob Kessling, Brent Hubbs, and the rest of that great Vol Radio Network crew. I know you're no stranger to the Vol Radio Network. You've been doing the call-in shows, Big Orange Hotline and all that. But how excited are you to get in the booth and to be the lead analyst for Tennessee football?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm excited. It's something I haven't done in a while. I've done quite a bit of it back in the day, but didn't know if that was ever going to happen again, and they gave me the call, and I jumped at it.
Well, of course, you spent, I want to say, 5 to 6 years with Mike Keith when the Titans Radio Network first started out. Of course, you are on that famous, you know, Music City Miracle call, and so you're no stranger to the analyst role, but you know, kind of, what's your style? I feel like you have a good basis for what you want to accomplish. This won't be new to you, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, it's not going to be new. It's calling college is a little different than calling pros, but I filled in for Tim a few years back up in Kentucky, and I think it went pretty well, so I got a feeling that I'll drop back into it. My style is, everybody's style is different, and I don't know how you would characterize my style. Sometimes I'm a little off the wall, sometimes I'm a little direct. I guess it just depends on the mood.
Hey, Pat, you said just a moment ago that doing college is a little bit different than doing the pros. What would be some of those differences?
Well, in the pros, it's I guess you can say a little bit more in pro football. It's not scrutinized as much. And you can be, as I said, a little more direct on certain things that happen. Whereas in college, you got to remember that you're dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. So that's probably the biggest difference.
Matt, have you ever called a high school game? Because it's even, you got to watch what you say even more so if you're working at the prep level.
Well, see, that's where I started. I started doing high school ball with Mike Keith a year or two before I did the Titans. That's how I got into this deal. We started, we did high school ball around here for about 2 years, and then he went off to Nashville and then he gave me a call. I went straight from high school to the NFL calling games. It was an experience to start with.
I was going to say, I mean, it worked out just fine for Mike Keith and you as well. So I don't think anybody's doubting that for sure. But when you kind of look at this opportunity now, and again, it's not like you're brand new. Everyone knows Pat Ryan. Everyone, you're no stranger to the Vol Radio Network and to the listeners there. But you are a VFL. You played at Tennessee. And now you're going to get to call Tennessee games on a regular basis. I mean, have you had a chance to let it sink in a little bit about how cool this is going to be for you?
You know, I really haven't, I don't think. We've been talking about this for the last couple months. And obviously, we agreed to do the deal. But I really haven't. It's probably not going to sink in until about a week before the ball game, to be honest with you.
Have you had a chance to, I'm sure you have, again, this has been in the works for a little bit, got a chance to catch up with Bob Kessling, and how excited are you to kind of play off Bob Kessling? Again, already worked with a tremendous play-by-play voice with Mike Keith for years, and now getting to sit beside Bob Kessling on Saturdays.
Yeah, it's like you asked about my style. Everybody's got different styles. Mike calls a game different than Bob, but I've worked with Bob in a lot of different capacities for 20 years. So we know each other well. And I think, the main thing about a broadcast, I mean, you've got to have some chemistry and you got to know when the other guy's going to chime in and when to be quiet and all that good stuff. And I think Bob and I've already got a lot of that.
Chat with Pat Ryan here, the new lead analyst for Tennessee football on the Vol Radio Network, taking over for Tim Priest. And I know you know Tim Priest very, very well. I know you have worked in a capacity with Tim Priest over the last 20 years or so as well. What did you think about Tim Priest? And obviously some big shoes to fill for sure.
Definitely. I mean, Tim did a great job for 20-some-odd years, and I know a lot of people are really going to miss him. I just hope that, I can step in and make it kind of seamless, hopefully.
Pat, I know you've been asked about this probably thousands of times over the last 20 years, but I'm going to ask you one more time. One of the most historic radio calls in football history is the Music City Miracle. That was, you and Mike Keith had worked together before, but that was, back when you guys were first starting out at the Titans Radio Network. And you talk about, you've got to be able to feel out your partner and not step on him in the big moments. But in that play, one of the greatest things I love about it is Mike is going throughout his call, and every time he takes a breath in between words, you're saying, he's got something. He's got, it just works out to be just pure magic. Can you think of, that's probably the highlight of your broadcasting career so far, but any other moments in your, analyst career in the booth, whether it be high school, whether it be pros, whether it be filling in for Tim, that you can think back up to now and where you learned something or where you felt really, really good about what happened?
That definitely was the tops. And to be honest with you, we've been asked about that call, like you said, a million times. And I tell everybody that it was just pure luck. I mean, it was just Mike started the call and I chimed in, and then he called and I chimed in, and somehow it turned out. I can't tell you how. I guess maybe it's because, as I talked before, the chemistry, we kind of knew each other, and that call's been heard a million times. I mean, it is famous in Nashville for sure. But it, I tell everybody it was just luck more than anything. That's got to be the best one. I don't think there's anything that comes close to that one.
Yeah, probably nothing else will come close to that one. And, you know, sometimes luck's all you need. I've been in booths before where I'm calling play-by-play or I'm being in the analyst role and we're talking over each other all the time when something big happens. And sometimes it's great. I mean, the Juwan Jennings Hail Mary catch with Tim and Bob, they're all over each other. But it was amazing. It was awesome. And so it's just a beautiful thing about radio. Pat, I'll get you out the door here in just a moment. But playing at the professional level, playing for as long as you did, just being a part of the game, I think it's very important when you are the lead analyst because you've been there, you've done that. You know what the quarterback's looking for in the defense. You know what the defense is doing, you know, before the snap, all that type of stuff. How excited are you to kind of bring that knowledge, just like Tim did, bring that knowledge over the airwaves to thousands of people listening every Saturday?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. What I'm really excited about is Heupel's offense. Yeah, I think it's going to be fun to call. Now, I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to say much because they move so fast.
No joke.
But I'm going to have to figure that one out. But that's what I'm excited about because I think that's something that we really missed here for quite some time. Is an exciting brand of football, something that people really want to watch and something that thrills you. And I think regardless of their talent level this year, which obviously is not going to be great, but I think he's a sharp enough guy that he's going to figure out a way to move the football up and down the field and score points. And I think it's going to be fun to watch and listen to.
I was going to say at that spring game, they ran one play. I looked down at my laptop to make two notes. I looked up and they had already run two more plays. So it's kind of, you need a healthy balance there. If you get stuffed, it's going to be bad for your defense and all that. But certainly if it's clicking, it's going to be tough on that defense regardless. Pat Ryan, congratulations on moving into the booth. Really looking forward to listening to you. I've worked kind of alongside you a couple of times when you've joined the Sports Animal for Friday morning quarterbacks and Monday morning quarterbacks. I've listened to you on the Vol Radio Network call-in shows. Super pumped for you to take over for Tim, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Eric, thanks. I appreciate it.
Again, that was Pat Ryan, the lead analyst for football on the Vol Radio Network moving forward following the retirement of Tim Priest. Guys, that's going to do it here for a week's worth of Locked On Vols. Next week, I will be at the beach, but I have pre-recorded a ton of content, and we'll probably do a bonus episode to talk about Tennessee baseball and the outcome of the Super Regionals, win or loss, especially if they're going to Omaha, so stay tuned for that. But chatting with two Tennessee football commits next week, chatting with Sean Sullivan for Fan Friday, and a really good guest, Brent Hubbs, coming on, joining me for an entire show one day next week. So that's what you have to look forward to next week on Locked On Vols. But done here for the week's worth, now go check out the Locked On Today podcast. What's the plan for the Steelers at quarterback after Big Ben? Get all the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. Remember, a huge, huge series against LSU for Tennessee baseball in the Super Regionals right here at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. It will be a packed house. Big thanks to John Wilkerson for stopping by and previewing that series here on today's show. Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate you, and enjoy the weekend. Stay safe, everybody.